Just to get back into swing, so to speak, and this big take is we're in the Akdama, and he's talking about his own natzlus about saying things that are right or wrong, and he's darshening the capital of Dovr HaMelech of Yates, which deals with Torah, and each piece he's explaining about the chshivas of different elements of chshivas of Torah, and he'll come back at the end of it and finish up with that. But each point that he mentions here is worth in its own right, and it has its own shittas. We did last time the piece about Tumimus, about Tum Tiyam Hashem Lekech, and what Tumimus is. And now it's on page Dalet, towards the bottom, about 10 lines or so from the bottom up. B'chakach Oma Eidos Hashem Ne'mona Machkim Aspesi. The next pasuk is Eidos Hashem Ne'mona Machkim Aspesi. He just says two lines here. Just let's read the line, and then we'll go back and explain it a bit. What is a person worth if all he has is seichel enushi? Torah makes a person a chacham. The Torah says edus on everything in the world to clarify everything. It's something which makes the pesi very wise until he's considered sichli. That's the entire piece on a pasuk. Let's go bit by bit, because he's really putting a lot into it, and each point is something. The first thing is the pasuk says Eidus Hashem Ne'mona. Each one is describing Torah in a different facet. It says Eidus Hashem is Ne'mona, and in that sense he says it is manechshav adam shemarak seichel enushi, aval Eidus Hashem Ne'mona machkim aspesi. In the different senses of a person that he has, re'iyah is considered to be generally much more chashav than shmiyah. Shaloi tei shmiyah de lemiriyah. If a person sees something, if I see it's dark outside, a dozen eidos that it's light is not going to help me much. It's not going to convince me much, because I see it with my own eyes. So generally speaking, re'iyah as a chush is seen to be superior than shmiyah. There are, however, one or two places where it says not like that. First of all, there's a Gemara that says that Chereshoi Noitloid Meikuloi, very famous Gemara. The Gemara says that if you damage different limbs of a person, different organs, you pay the value of that, and you evaluate it by selling how much would a person be worth to be sold as an Eved, with, without. An eye is no exception. An eye, you pay a certain value of what an Eved worth, with an eye, without an eye. If you make somebody deaf, you pay to make Kula, the Gemara says. So there's a famous Rabbi Yoina, and Rabbi Bechaya says in one or two places, where he speaks about the milah of shmiya over riyah. That in a certain sense, shmiya is more important than riyah. He says it, Rabbi Yoina says it, legabe kabbalas tochacha. That when a person was mekabal tochacha, he hears from somebody tochacha, that shmiya makes him into a different person, and from the day he's mekabel to listen to a mochiach, it's as if he's miskaper, very, very long, and he's meirich in the milos of a shomea, and especially shmias techocha, that's the point that he's talking about. I want to explain how that works. What's the relationship of Re'iyah and Shmiah? In what sense is Shmiah more chashev than Re'iyah? L'chur, it's not our normal reaction. It's not even the reaction. It's not even the way it's described in the Lashon. Like, I mean, seeing is believing. In every language, seeing is believing. A person calls man. When we talk about Shmiah, I want to make it clear, we're not talking about first-hand listening. For instance, if I see a cat walk across the room, or I hear a pitter-patter of a cat, in terms conceptually, that's Re'iyah. In other words, personal experience is Re'iyah. Whether we happen to feel something crawling on the hand, or something, we hear something walking, or we see something walking, that's the same. That's not Shmiah that we're talking about. Shmiah means, I'm privy to information and understanding of somebody else outside of me. Like I would put, what do you call these, the little memory cards into something. It's a Dayan, Ein L'Dayan L'Shev Royas. A Dayan saw X, Y, and Z. So what he saw is most powerfully true to him. But there's tons of things he didn't see. There are many things that he didn't see. And so if the Dayan could only trust what he saw, then he's limited to what's in front of him, and he can't do more than that. But when he has testimony that he can rely on, his frame of knowledge is so much greater than that which he understands himself. It's true about more information, like I got to say this, that's Pashit. But certainly it's true with wisdom. In other words, I have a certain amount of understanding of what's right. My seichel, like everybody, every seichel, is mugbal. My understanding is I can determine right or wrong in a certain framework. Outside of it, looks good to me. I don't know what the problem with it is. But if I tap into somebody who's more of a chacham than me, then my ability of judging things is now him. So all of a sudden I've expanded, and I'm not limited to my chachma. I can understand his chachma. Somebody told me once he went into Rav Shach to ask him about doing something, and we told him whatever he told him, yes or no. Rav Shach called him back a day later and says, "I changed my mind." He said, "I still think I'm right, but I was trying to think what the Chofetz Chaim would have told me, and he would have said the opposite." In other words, I can use the koyach of Shmiah is to be able to use someone else's godless das, someone else's das, to add to my das. And in that sense, it's much bigger than my Re'iyah. Because Re'iyah, as vivid as it is, and as powerful as it is, but it's limited to me. Shmiah is able to, how far can Shmiah go? As far as the person that I'm listening to. That's why Lamashal, an Eved Nirtza is Nirtza in the Oizen, because the Oizen makes you a tool of somebody else. So if it's Avdus, physical Avdus, then it's bad. Then you become you become shuffled because you became somebody else. If you're shtelzach tzu, like the Rabbeinu Yoina says, for somebody's teichacha, so I become, just like Eved Melech is a Melech, if I'm the Eved of a Melech, I'm a Melech also myself. If I shtel tzu to somebody bigger than me, then I become bigger than myself because I can tap into somebody else. That's the point of Shmiah. So Torah has in itself a facet that it's called Eidus Hashem. In other words, it broadens my personal understanding and knowledge, and it becomes a bigger than me, and it becomes a b'china of Eidus in that sense. It says the tchun is Eidus Hashem ne'mana. So Torah is called Eidus Hashem, and it's ne'mana. That is the the tchuna of Eidos, machkimas pesi. Now let's look at this point, machkimas pesi. He says over here, v'nemona machkimas pesi at shenechshav sichli b'yoyser. I want to explain it in different ofanim. The first of all, on a simple level, machkimas pesi is the following. A pesi is described as pesi yam in l'choldava. A pesi is someone who doesn't have the ability to discriminate between true, not true, frivolous, etc. So a person who's a pesi, since the information in the world around is not ever clear, it's not ever 100% emes, so a pesi has a real hard problem because it's like somebody swallows things, good food, but he doesn't spit out the pits or the stems or the bones, and he's left together with the food, the garbage. So a pesi normally has a real hard problem learning because he's full of knowledge and garbage, and he can't discriminate between two. So Eidos Hashem is nempona, and therefore it's machkimas pesi. That's the posh understanding of it. The Maral is saying something deeper, and it goes in line with things that he says other places also. I want to try to describe it. Generally speaking, the Torah does not speak in the pejorative about things that are not the person's fault, that there's no wrong in it. For instance, to describe somebody as stupid because the ability of his brain to process information is not great. The Torah, I mean, that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me. The terms ksil and avil and pesin, all those terms that are negative terms about a person's understanding and seichel and daf, they also carry within themselves a shortcoming of the person. A shortcoming that he could have rectified. It's not just a natural inability. So let's understand pesi, because pesi is, the Torah seems to have, I always say in Lashon Kodesh, is a language that's poor in vocabulary. Ibn Tibbon writes, when he had to translate from Arabic to Hebrew, he was stuck many times because it doesn't have many words. But there are certain words that have tons of synonyms. And a fool has many. Sheite, tipesh, ksil, evil. I guess that there's a lot, there are a lot of many different types. There come many variations. And I guess it's important to be oimer on each one. What's this particular shtus? What's a pesi? So a pesi has in itself the lashon pitui. The Maral speaks in many places about a pesi not being a sichli and so on and so forth. So let's take an example, and we'll get an understanding. A pesi means something that's gullible. Gullible, so that's a tchunas the nefesh. Some people are suspicious. Being a very suspicious person is also not a healthy tchuna. So what exactly, what moral issue is involved in being a pesi? So let's take an example. I'm trying to get somebody to invest in my company. So I take him for the grand tour. The first thing is I take him to the best restaurant in town, and he walks into the office, and the carpets are thick, and the paintings are very expensive, b'chulu, b'chulu, b'chulu. So one part of himself says, wow, this is awesome. I'd like to be part of this. There's another part. He can then sit down with the books, disregard that whole chelik, work on the numbers, and say, my gosh, you know, where did they get the money to do this? There's nothing in the books that would indicate that they have anything more than a McBurger. They shouldn't. Where's this coming from? But the person doesn't always make that decision. I mean, a lot of the world is built on people that don't make that decision. What's the difference? Why? What's happening here? The Torah says the person has two levels of thought process. He has one level that is sichli in its nature. In other words, not sichli, smart, but it's completely oblivious to any of the body emotion input, and it's pure seichel. And there's a thinking part of the person that thinks with his stomach, and thinks with his wallet. And he, so now the question is, which part of himself is thinking? My father, remember, told me in Europe, people made tailored suits. That was the way in the. My father remembers from the early 1900s. My father was an older person, and they started producing mass-produced suits. They were not terribly good quality, and they didn't fit well. I guess they didn't have yet a good type of a model to build it on, and it was always ill-fitting. That was a bought suit was not fitting well. So a yid didn't buy a suit that was ready-made. A peasant would come in for a Sunday suit and buy. They would put a few coins in every packet. I'm not condoning it, not saying good business practice, just describing the mitzvahs. And the peasant would put on a suit. The suit had its shortcomings, let's say. And he would feel all of a sudden a few coins here, a few coins there. And he said, oh, this is the perfect suit I'm looking for. He said, no, Mr. Even, let's fit. No, it's just perfect. He was scared that they would find the money and take it away. So he would pay for it and run out with it. Now, what's the pshat? He wasn't thinking with the seichel. He was thinking with his pocket, with his time. So, Mom, when we speak about sichli, we're not talking about thinking process, but which part of the person is doing the thinking. So, a pesi is maimon. Why? A pesi is maloshim pitui. It's not that he's stupid not to be able to understand, to analyze the numbers. It's not, if he would sit down with the numbers and forget the meal and the office and everything he was treated to, he'd look at the numbers and say it doesn't make sense to invest. but the pesi is mispater with something else. And therefore the person is now thinking not with a seichel, but thinking with something else. That's a pesi. So a pesi is chisaron and seichel, but not because the person doesn't have enough brain power to think it through. It's because the person's, a different part of the person is thinking. Teiris Hashem is ne'mona, machkimas pesi, is like this. If I sit and I think about right and wrong, I'm always going to have to think through my own self. No matter, I mean, I start with being a physical being. I have my taivis, I have my ritzonos, I have my chemdas, I have my things. Yes, I can work on myself and so on. But at the end of the day, the person is a pesi, because I have my internal biases. There's no way I could go around my internal biases, and therefore, the wisest thing I could ever say carries in itself elements of pesi. If I hook into Teiras Hashem, so Teiras Hashem is ne'mono machkimas pesi. So let's give it a mashal. If I manufacture my equipment a yardstick, no matter how good I try to keep my equipment, it always going to carry some sort of. It's not going to be perfect because my equipment is not perfect. If I take an outside thing and measure up against it, then adab, I can even line my equipment to be like it. If I start with an understanding that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us, Teiras Hashem ne'mana. So I say to myself, it's like when you're doing problems in a book and you see the answers and you didn't get that answer. So your choice is to say that they're wrong or you're wrong. So usually you assume that they're right and you try to figure out where you went off. So since every person is a pesi inherently, because our thinking process starts out with our built-in biases, with our built-in chumrias, when a person stels tzu to something else, then he becomes a sichli, as the Maral says, and it's a machkimas pesi. The two points go very well together. It requires a certain element of, so let's talk about a very fine point that distinguishes two different directions in an attitude towards Torah. Every learning of Torah is a meeting up of two things that aren't quite the same place. I remember from a long time ago in American history where they built the railroad from the east to the west and west to the east, and they met at a certain point. I think that they met exactly on point. It's one of the things when you dig a tunnel, you always you know that if they meet at the exact point, then it's good. A person learns Torah with his own seichel, and it comes into focus with, and it comes into meets the Torah seichel. So I learn a halacha. Now, b'derech klal, my understanding and the halacha's understanding is not the same. And that's why we have Torah to Machkim as Pesi. One attitude is, for instance, let's take a simple mashal. We learn about Mechias HaMolek. So, doesn't sit well with us. Killing people and so on and so forth. So we can just leave it at that. And, you know, I don't know what the Torah says. I don't understand. Sort of a gap. I can try and say, well, what I think is right is right. And Bal Karchach, the Torah maybe was talking at a specific time, was talking at a specific place, whatever, for better or worse, you can be mitaris the Torah, or you can struggle to understand it until you might understand it, or you may not understand it. That's a difference in Shemayim and Oretz, and your attitude. There's a topic, and again, I don't like to get into current events and political stuff and so on, but I think it's a goofish Indian here. If the Torah tells us about immoral things, quote unquote, how do we deal with it? Well, one second. Immoral things means the things that I think are not moral, or the things that I and Haskell and Beryl and Jack and Jim think is not moral. That's really what you're saying. So, my basic attitude can be, yes, I'm right, and I'm going to try to explain the Torah in line with where I understand. Or I could say, I'm a Pesi. I see things. I have my internal biases one way or another. The Torah is emes. It could be that I can't straighten myself out. But it could be I'll struggle to understand, and I can't put my understanding up to it. That's fine. But the direction is that this is the measuring rod, and I'm stelling tzu, as opposed to the other way around. So, first point. Eidus Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, has a derech of a b'chin of Eidus, which means that it is, it's coming from the outside and adding to myself. And that's why, and it's machkimas pesi, because every person himself has this pesiness, because we're basav adam, we're not sichli enough, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when we shtol tzu, is machkimas pesi. In a certain sense, this is the pshat in v'chol ha'am royim es hakolos. Chol ha'am royim es hakolos means, and it's pashit, one of its more pashat understandings. When you hear Eidus from somebody else, we have access to more information. We have access to a better and bigger understanding than we have. But we don't have the clarity of Ein L'dayin HaMashen Avroyes, Lo'itei Shmir Dola Miriyah. If I have a contradiction between Ri'iyah and Shmir, if somebody comes, if 10 Eidus that are Nemanim come and tell me it's middle of the day now, then I still would discount it. I'd say I don't know what the game is all about, but you know, it's just I don't know. It's discounted. So it has in itself a chisur. It has a maidel, like you said from Rabbi Yoina, and it's lacking because of this. Eidus v'chol ha'am hakolos means it was the only time the Devar Hashem that came to us as a dibur and as Eidus at that moment had the clarity of Re'iyah. which is something that since that time is not possible. It was a yichud of Maimer Har Sinai that something which was bigger than us met up and became clear to us like that. It's like sometimes, Reb Nochum, my Rebbe, we'd hear a shir, and when he said the shir, it was, wow, it was so obvious. When you went back afterwards and you tried to redo it, it took a lot of work. While he was saying it, it was like pashat, that's pshat. It was only afterwards you had to start and redo it again. But there was, in Maimon Har Sinai, there was such a darga of Roya Sakolos. That's the simpler pshat of Roya Sakolos. So that's one thing. The Torah is Eis Hashem Nemona Machkimas Pesi. I want to add something. I guess sort of in Yonah Diyomadik. I don't know. Like Bomer is around the corner, and we count to 30 tonight. So we're kind of in the parsha a little bit. I want to explain something about the yichud of the Torah that Hashem Yechoy was Megala, which, by the way. The Maral was yonek his tocha from that Torah without using any of the language, and this is one of the milas of the limud, is that you get some of the emes of the Torah without the need to have the vocabulary and all the words and so on and so forth. But I want to speak a little bit about its yichud. It's called in the Rishonim, in the Ramban and other Rishonim, but they speak about a mahalach al piderach haKabbalah. They speak. He says val derech haEmes, val derech haEmes kach vekach. So I also to put the point out, and he asked, as opposed to what? Like the Ramban has two malachim al derech haSheker and one al derech haEmes. Like, what's the other one? I mean, I don't know. What's any? I don't know if a contrast to apps other than sheker. So what does it mean about derech ha-emes? Emes, in what sense for the first two not of derech ha-emes? So the once a friend of mine was friendly with Shlomo Kalbach, and he asked him once if a certain story they told of in the song, in the songs, is true or not. So, and he got very insulted and says, "What do you mean, Elimeir? It is from my truest stories." So, as he said, he didn't know that true comes in degrees and in shame, more true, less true. So what's the opposite of sort of shots like this? Whatever a person's profession is, and somebody's in a profession that requires a lot of very specialized training or knowledge, and he tries to explain to somebody on the outside, he has to use a mashalim that makes sense in the other person's terms. I need to translate it into your language so that it makes sense. I need to. Or to a universal language, I'll give a mashal about things that I'm familiar with. Because if I have to take an idea, because in my world, translate it into a different world, it becomes an aberration. Bechreach, it's an aberration. Because whenever you dress up something, you automatically distorted some of its somatic. But just by the very fact you dressed it up in something else. Torah, in fact, the Torah that we have is the Torah that we call Nigla. Is like, oh, I heard a lecture from a great physicist. I heard this, and it was easy to understand. And he put it in words that we could all understand, means that it's distorted. It less so if he's good, more so if he's not good at it. But that's what it means. If he's not, because he took something in one language and tried to dress up another language. Torah that's called Nigla to us is Torah that's dressed in a form that we're familiar with. So Netilas Yadayim is a cup and it's water in its hands, and the hands touch something, and this touch this, and this touch that. That's the Torah that we start to have. That's what we call Nigla. So it is an emes, obviously, but it carries in itself some distortion, so because it's dressed in inyanim of this world, which is not its natural dress. If I can strip it of this world inyanim, this world, and deal with it mitzad its own particular structure, and with it could, for the engineer that is fighting this, he forgets what this is, and he just has lines and shows the weight that's being borne and the strength, and whether it's white or whether it has outlets or whatever it is meaning like this. So he has the lines that are the emes of the building, but it won't look at the building. So there is a chachma in Torah that's the pnim of Torah. It's the nistar of Torah. Just like the body behind the dress is the nistar. And behind it, it's closer, it is sharply in focus, more to the emes. That's the same relationship of that Torah that's called Nister to the Torah's called Shev Nigla. That's what when Ramban says, and al derech ha'emes, it means because it's not this white wall is holding up this thing, it's the structural strength of the studs being supported by this and being fast like that. I'm taking by that the exterior and speaking about the Panim. But that's very hard for us to understand, because if I don't have any mesholim, if I don't have any words to describe it, I need to be so fine tuned with engineering that I can envision something without walls and so on and so forth. So, well, the Torah that Rav Shem Yochai was megale, that was Torah's emes in the sense that it's stripped off of these inyanim. Tanya says in a place, it says a few places, but the Lamosh that says in the Zohar that when Yaakov Avinu was peeling the maklos, that was an inyev tefillin that he was doing. The Pashto Pshat is kind of because, you know, when you peel a maklos, it looks like mitzvahs on a hand. Halachically, is zero. It looks like it has no shaykhs. So he explained before Matan Torah, before Leif Yov was chal in the oifin that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said it, mitzvahs could be kuyim in different levushim. In other words, the pnim of the mitzvah, we wouldn't pick the white and the black, but that's the particular vino, that's the Zohar Kodesh, and that's the Baal Tam, but the understanding is that the pnimius of it was an abstract opinion that. But Aldas Ha'ovis, Aldas Yagavino, it could have fit different levushim. But that's what I wanted to add. It has to do with the Mechashim. It's Pesi part. This point that it does have Kimas, one of Mechimas Pesi, it means that Torah in itself has an emes. And he says, his Meramas means that he says, take a look at the word that he says over here. He says, Ki Torah me idol nimtsoyim varer kol dover. Torah is made on the nimtsoyim, on the brias in the world, to be me varer kol dover. In other words, to give the clear understanding, the edus of Torah clarify for us each and every prat nebria. It's moshlamad dover daima. The bria is just a wild bunch of things. Of animals and flowers and rocks and people and nations and wars and other things. And there is no brirus. What's the point of this? What's the point of this balchai? To eat, what's not to eat? To use it for film, not to use it for film. To work it hard, to work it. To breed it with another animal, not to breed it. Not all of these things, Torah gives us the focus, the tzura with which gives us. That's one Indian. It goes on to another Indian. He says, now he says in the Pasuk, it says, the Torah is Misamachas Lev. Ekude Hashem Yisharim Misamchi Lev. What's this Indian? A whole new Lev. Pirish. Shenev Adam Shu Mitzio Sholech Shal Yidea Torah. Ulekachi Misamachas Lev Adam. Shekasher Slev. Adam Ubeshlemus Ubesimcha. Behefer Zekash Ubechison Ubavelus. So he says over here that the Torah has in itself good Hashem's Yisharim, and that's why the Misamchi Lev, And he explains Simcha is tolui with Shleimus, and Avelus is tolui with Chisor. He talks about this in a few places, the morale. I want to start. He gives a little bit of different explanation, but it's the core of this explanation. The morale says, I mean, let's go a second. Let's take a step back. Well, a person's feelings, a person's hargoshlings, are meant to be evaluations of situations. So, for instance, pleasure is such feedback for something which is good for us. So when a person eats something, there's a sense of pleasure, and a person probably who needs certain foods usually has kind of a craving for that food, and it feels good. So when he ate it, a lot of different pleasures. A person likes things that are soft, things that are sharp. A person have a pain sensation, not a bad feedback. Different feelings that we have express different. It's a feedback. It's telling us something about it. Fine. Fright, anger, what's Simcha and Avelus? What exactly is it describing? What feedback? What's that feeling? A feeling of what is Simcha? I mean, good. It's a feeling of good. Simcha. But specifically, what exactly? So Maral says that all the feelings that we have, many things give us a feedback about certain qualities. Something is sharp, kind of dangerous, something is smooth, etc., etc. So, the hargosha of chiyus, of existence and non-existence, in other words, the most basic hargosha in the world is that there is or there is not. So he says, the moshgosha and tovim are all built around zmanim of havaya, of the sense existence, creation. You have chag oviv, you have Chag HaKotzeh, Chag HaOsif. Each one is Ke'ilu, each a new Havaya in the Bria, says a new Mitzias. The feeling of Mitzias, the feedback for Mitzias is Simcha. We have that in its fullness. In other words, we can't feel total non-existence because it wouldn't exist. In other words, there's no thing as total existence for us. What we do feel is dargis of more existence and less existence. So if I feel more comfortable or less comfortable, there's no darga of added less existence, added mitzias, or less mitzias. It's more pleasant, less pleasant, sweeter, sour, sharp. But if Rachmana Litzlan, a piece of me is torn away and it seizes the geist, that's avelus. There are six craving that are part of my own mitzias, and it's part of my existence has been dealt. That is avelus. Rip Simcha is when a Adam is not shalom, a person is a plagufa, and he gets married, and now he has a hashlama to his mitzias. Shlomus means that something was missing to me, and there are things that I have less, but I'm not lacking a shleimus. When I'm not married, I'm lacking something which is mashlim. Children are an added existence. My mitzias has become a bigger mitzias because I have children. So simcha is the hargosha of mitzias and avaya. Avelus is the hargosha of lack of a chisorin there. And more specifically, when a person feels a shleimus, when a person accomplishes something that he feels, a person is a little bit about a fish. I mean, the problem is that we're so used to translating the word simcha to happy, and happy is everything. There's a happy hour and a happy party and a happy this, everything. It's a terrible distortion. It's a word simcha. If a person accomplishes something, a type of accomplishment that a person feels, this is me. I did something that I feel plugged in a piece into some missing in the chayish that was my first question. Those are hargashas of simchas. That accomplishment. So, of all things, maisim that a person does, mitzvahs, type of maisim, all the things and so on, Those are things a person does and accomplishes. They become a person a certain way. But nothing becomes part of the person like Das. Das is me. If I understand something better today, if I have a better perspective on the world, then if I'm more, I is more of me. Sholem. If I'm lacking it, I'm a chosa. It says they forgot the X amount of halachas in Babylon. In Avelos, they forgot halachas. And the child who forgets Torah, so you miss Babylon it for the Shalom Zach, etc. In other words, of all the things in a person's mitzvahs, that thing we can really say becomes part of his ashlam. Torah is the most, and that's why it's misamachas. It's a halacha like that.